Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Oh yes, it's the 5th of November. Who could forget the 5th of November, 2017. This is Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks, broadcast through Ever Beyond Radio and distributed on the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Good evening, Simon. How are you today?
Hello, JP. Hello to all the audience. I'm fine, thank you. Are you keeping well?
Oh, yes, I'm very well. And like I was explaining, my mind is completely on electronics and stuff like that. So I don't know if I'm going to be any use to anything today.
Oh. Okay, well, of course, it's been a five-week month, so it seems forever since I was last here. I've had my move, and although I'm moved, I've still got a great ton of boxes and bubble wrap. And that's going to keep me going to Christmas, I'm sure. And I sort of undo things and I think, well, you know, why did I do this? I don't need this. And I just wish I'd thrown most of this stuff away before the move. But it's a good way of learning and trimming down. Well, you know, it's funny that you can go online and you can read about Planet X and Nibiru, this, that and the other, and you look at Planet Earth and it's all happening now. Never mind will or will not Planet X do this or do that. You know, we nearly had a third world war. That's how close it's been. I've been trying to update my website through Andy, who does a fantastic job in putting my posts out onto the website. And I've sort of gone as close to the knuckle as I can. I get the information and I have to try and be as close to what I'm receiving as possible. So I want to sort of backtrack a little bit and let's try to understand what the heck has been going on. A number of commentators were looking at November the 4th as a interesting day. And this was not a surprise because back in April of this year, so very early on in the year, November the 4th had been identified as a demonstration day. This was, at the time, it was unfunded. So it was just a call out to different groups. A few weeks ago, George Soros moved $100 billion. That's a staggering amount of money. $100 billion from all of his businesses and placed them into the George Soros Foundation. Now, if we think back to the days of the Clintons, they have or had a Clinton Foundation. Now, I know that the listeners to this radio show are very clued in. But new people who are just joining may be shocked and maybe even disbelieving to learn that the Clinton Foundation wasn't about bringing fresh drinking water to starving Africans, but was about putting money in the pockets of those people who could be used to wheel and deal with. And foundations are like that. And George Soros had placed a huge amount of money, and I believe that was to pay for a form of a revolution or revolutions demonstrations. It was Mr. Soros who paid for the revolution in the Ukraine. Anyway, what we had was a situation where these people still absolutely hate President Trump. Now, whether you like President Trump or not, the fact is that the elite, the old guard, don't like him. So no matter how crass or chauvinist Trump is, you have to say the elite don't like him. And if the elite don't like him, that's because they don't control him. So they've been planning, ways to remove him. Now, regular listeners to this show will know that I predicted an attempt to, you could say assassinate, but I use the word murder. Assassination is like an authorized killing. There's no such thing. So there was an attempt, we know, to kill President Trump. And I don't know if I was the only person. I think I might have been the only person who 2 months, 3 months back said October, November, there will be an attempt to murder President Trump. And I said, I'm going public with it because I know that will feed back to him and his security team so they can be really extra vigilant. Excuse me. So we know the little that I know, it isn't much more than what's been released to the public, that a guy was caught just on the perimeter of the White House. Now, what these security guards didn't know was whether he was trying to come in or was on his way out. And if he was on his way out, had he planted a bomb? Was that a cover for a snooping device, a listening device? But it transpired that he said that he was trying to blow up President Trump. So the next point was, well, how many of these guys are there? And did he place a bomb? And then the White House has a very strong process of making sure the vice president and the president are not in the same location. They moved special troops in, and they did a complete and utter sweep and found nothing. They didn't find anything. But it's no coincidence that I had been forewarned that there was going to be some sort of an attempt in October, November. And this was a real credible attempt, in the sense that this guy actually believed that he was going to kill the president. Now, whether he was subject to mind control, the point I'm making is it wasn't a high school prank. This wasn't a joke. He really intended to kill the president. So we need to look at that with the fact that the same day, President Trump's Twitter account was hacked and taken down. We need to understand that a number of demonstrations in Hawaii and around some states kicked off, where they were calling for President Trump to resign. The National Guard in a number of states were put on high alert, told to get ready for some form of uprising. When you look at all of that together, you think, well, that's probably as bad as it will get. And then we had a very, very genuine report of a missile that had been fired against the Saudi Arabian main airport. Now, it wasn't just a missile. This was a ballistic missile. Now, the difference is that a ballistic missile has on a trajectory where it's fired from the ground and rises in an arc, goes to the edge of the Earth's atmosphere, depending on the type of missile, and then comes down again. As opposed to a missile fired, you know, from an aeroplane or from a low level that's only designed to go a few miles. This was a ballistic missile. What the public don't know is that the Saudis had been tipped off and they had the correct assets available to knock this missile out. And when you look at all of this together, you can see that this was a very well organized and orchestrated plan to try to destabilize the American government, i.e. President Trump. Had that missile struck the main airport, it could potentially have created a third world war, because I believe that the blame would have been laid on Israel. And this missile was fired from Yemen, actually, so it didn't come from Israel. But the tensions between the Israelis and the Arabs would have been ignited, and then we could have seen a third world war. That failed. So we've had the most difficult situation over the last few hours, which are now calming down. The intelligence services were very slow to take things seriously. These demonstrations were not looked on as anything worth worrying about. It was only when the Twitter account went down that they began to be quite serious. You look at the build-up. There's some very, very interesting video footage of Las Vegas and the helicopter above and what appears to be gunshots coming from it. But this is more like what we would call a minigun. Not just an ordinary gun. If this video is accurate, and I haven't had any information on that, but if it's accurate, that wouldn't surprise me. So we have some, not just rogue, but totally insane people who have decided that they have no future in the world that President Trump has created in the United States, and they're just going to go for it. They've gone completely and utterly insane. So, you know, David Icke often refers to people in government, you know, as just totally mad. And that's what we've got here. We've got people who finally have snapped. To organize the firing of a ballistic missile, to take down the president's Twitter account, that is not some 15-year-old kid sitting in some place. This is a very well-funded and organized organization that does not exist in government, but exists to the edge of government. So I've been quite busy. I never felt that we were in danger. I never felt that the human race was on the verge or the precipice, but what I did feel was that those people who have hidden in the shadows for so long have now decided to come out. It's no coincidence that these people, the top few percent, who control, what is it, 80-90% of the world's assets, these people now are feeling more and more threatened. And it is a matter of public record that a member of my family, who worked for a charitable organization, went on a demonstration, and the video images are out there, and went on a demonstration, and this member of the family lost their job because a member of the board where my member of the family worked was one of these top elite people, and this member of the family went out and they were demonstrating, why do the top 1 or 2% of the world hold 80 or 90% of the planet's wealth? So that was a warning to me and also to the member of the family. And in the member of the family's case, the police said that the demonstration that the member of the family went on contained 100,000. The demonstrator organizers said it was nearer 250,000. So even if you take the lower figure of 100,000, to see my member of the family on a 10-second clip on the television of all the 100,000 demonstrators, they just picked on my member of the family for 10 seconds on primetime television, showing my member of the family with a placard demonstrating. And then what, 3 days later, member of the family lost the job. So these small group of people who control most of the planet's wealth are obviously now made a decision that they've got nowhere to go. We need now to be very, very mindful of some form of electromagnetic attack, because the 4th of November was also the day that the Department of Defense ran some simulations of how America would cope if half of its electronic communications went down. Commentators who were not in the know immediately said that this was a false flag, that these guys, the Department of Defense, were going to do this drill and then spring the real thing on us. That's because these commentators don't have the intel, they don't have the knowledge. The reality was that the American Department of Defense had been credibly warned that there was an attempt by the same people who we've been talking about to attempt an electronic pulse that would destroy most of the landline telephones, knock out a lot of the cell phone telephones, lock out the internet, the communication systems. And so what the Department of Defense was doing was legitimately saying, let's run a drill because we need to know how we're going to cope with this. So these were the good guys. They were the good guys attempting to work a way through what could potentially be difficult. Now, that didn't occur, but we got the missile attack. So it's been one of the most difficult for sane people, it's been one of the most difficult times, because the vast majority of the CIA, the NSA, MI5, MI6 are in fact good people. And they have been kept incredibly busy trying to sort out what they should and what they shouldn't go. Now, we've had a lot of these small terrorist attacks. They're not small if you've lost a member of your family, but they're small in terms of the human population. And it's all been leading up to this. It's all part of the same picture. It's all part of the same people. But the important thing is, on the positive note, that yet again, the human race has come through it. We didn't slide into an apocalyptic war. We didn't turn against our neighbour. We didn't have to duck downstairs and with our tin of beans and our rifle and fight off home invasions. The government did not attempt to take over. We had a situation where it was contained. And I really want people to be aware that it was serious. It was incredibly serious. And it's absolutely almost unbelievable. You look at the mainstream media, doesn't matter whether it's the BBC or Fox News, and, you know, it's completely covered over as if it didn't exist. There's just a few little bits about this demonstration here and there. And you're thinking, well, how can even they not be aware of it? And, of course, they are aware of it, but they're not controlled by President Trump. These people in the media are controlled by the same people who wish to see a return to the type of Clinton, Obama type of administration. There was a very interesting article that had come up on some blog accusing President Trump of, being against global warming. We need Agenda 21. There's this new one, is it Agenda 2030, I think. The reality is that President Trump knows full well that global warming is not created by humans. Global warming is the fact that the sun's frequency of energy has changed and every planet in our solar system is actually heating up. This is part of the developing process of evolution. And I use the word ascension, and we understand what we mean by that. It's part of the ascension of humanity and every other planet as well within the solar system. It's nothing to do with burning fossil fuels. But what the UN, which is obviously part of the elite control, are saying is that we need to control humanity to reduce carbon emissions, to reduce global warming, which is an excuse to control humanity. Agenda 21 was all about killing people. You don't see that on the document, of course. It's all very laudable. Fresh drinking water, the right to a reasonable job, et cetera, et cetera. But the way that these people want to get around this is by controlling people, either poisoning us or just letting us have no medical care, whatever. And Agenda 21, I think, came out in 1992. I don't know if it was the Rio conference, I can't remember now, it's a few years back, but they now come up with another one for the few years ahead. Now that's good, because it means they failed to implement Agenda 21, and that's what these bad guys are facing. They're coming out with these agendas which they wish to put across, and they're not being able to do it. So they say, all right, we better have another one. So they'll now say, okay, we'll call this Agenda 30 or whatever they want to do it. But the reality is they are not implementing in anything like the way they want to. But they have stretched the timelines. There's no doubt they've stretched the timelines. They are attempting to squeeze as much money out of the system before it collapses as possible. Dow Jones has now reached the highest level again. It is just unbelievable. The FTSE, that's the British stock market, is incredibly high. The two countries that are built on debt are on the verge of collapse financially. But they don't collapse in a way that we understand, because the timeline is being drawn out. If I was a hugely wealthy person and I had property all over the place, I would put pressure on the government or whoever to say, give me time to to get my assets out of these places, because I can't just put it all in a suitcase and disappear. I'm going to need months to sell my property or move this or move that. And this is why we've not had the collapse, because there are too many very, very wealthy people who would lose a great deal until such time as they've drawn their money out. So these last few weeks have been very, very important, and the last sort of 48 hours have been crucial. But it's a positive message that whatever they were planning, and I can't say that I know exactly what they were planning, whatever they were planning has failed. We woke up in the morning, the sun rose up, the sun was shining, we got out, we did what we needed to do, and it didn't bring Armageddon down. And I need to publicly thank those members of the intelligence services who put their necks on the line.
Simon. Simon. Hello, Simon. Simon, have I lost you? Where are you? And welcome back. We've got Simon back on the line. So can you remember where you were, where you were talking about?
Absolutely. And I know why we got cut off. Actually thanking those members of the secret intelligence services who put their neck on the line, did not obey any instructions to take a holiday or, you know, go dig a garden, actually went out as field men and women and did what they needed to do to keep people safe. That's why we got cut off. So we don't sing the praises enough. For every bad person, there's two good people. Right, that's it so far, JP. Let's move on to the questions so we don't give anyone an excuse to cut us off again.
Okie doke. So let's go over to my browser over here on the screen. One, two, three, four, five. That's five screens going today. Screen, where's my mouse? Hang on a second, I've got five screens and I've lost my which screen? Oh, it's over on that one. Okay, down this. Right, okay, I got it. And to contact form. Okay, here we are. Starting with today's, those of you who wish to get questions in, I start reading the questions that are posted from midnight Pacific, which is 8 a.m. UK time, on the day of the show. Even that space between 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Pacific is enough for like several shows. So I even scoot through some of those. So, starting at 0001 this morning, this is from Lirina. Recently, a man came to watch me, and he was very clear. He watched me a long time without looking directly at me, then smiled hugely and went away. He came back several times. The last time I saw him, it was the middle of the night, and he appeared as a golden light, but only his head and shoulders. His eyes were like black coals. I talked to him, and when I stopped talking, his light body shifted till it was shaped into a ball of golden light. Then he disappeared. Who is this man, and what is his purpose in visiting me? Thank you for all you do.
Right, thank you. That's very kind of you. I wouldn't have a problem, except you said his eyes were black. And that does not go well with what we would call a golden orb or a golden light body. There's something not right there. the black eyes apart. This could be anything from somebody from the spirit world, attempting to communicate with you, to watch over you, to just be in your presence. It could be something from another dimension which has taken an interest in you. It could be a spirit guide. There are lots and lots of possibilities. But for me, the concern is that the eyes were black. That doesn't work well with me if the body was light or golden. What I would say is that you need to get in some form of, or you would want to try and get in some form of communication from it, and to see what its intent is. These things often work over many, many months, so they will literally turn up for a few seconds and disappear, and then they would come back and spend a bit more time, so that you become confident with them or you become used to it. And what you need to know is whether this is a benevolent, helpful being or whether it's not. Now, it may well be that its eyes are black and that's just the way it is, so we don't want to be judgmental. All I'm doing is flagging that up as a concern. I would normally expect something like that to have blue eyes, generally speaking, although possibly green or yellow. But to have a black eyes is is unusual for me. So my advice to you is be on your guard. If you can get into some form of communication, don't promise anything. Don't give anything. Don't make any deals. But ask it what its intent is. What does it want? Also specify that you don't want it to come within, say, I don't know, 6 feet of you. So you need to tell it to respect your space. And it, if it has a message for you, what is that message? And then you need to, you know, think about that very carefully and decide whether you think this being is, or this apparition is of a beneficial type or not. So just be on your guard. I can't tell you what it's about because nobody has enough information from it. So that's my best advice. I think you should keep a diary and jot down when it arrives, how long it's with you, and if you think it might have communicated with you but you don't know, then hypnotic regression is a possibility. I'm always a bit careful with that, but there are some times when a regression is very useful, and it might be that this being has communicated with you but consciously you don't remember it. So there are a few pointers there. I hope that's helpful. It's an interesting problem. Thank you.
Okay. This is from Roman in Russia. Hello, Simon. Can you give a little update on what's going on in Russia in terms of moving towards disclosure, fighting cabal, and or advanced technologies to be released to the public? Bless you for your constant work, from Roman.
Thank you. Thank you from Russia. Thank you very much indeed. The importance or the energies of the Russian government have shifted. In December, the Russians are going to, although they have actually announced it, they're going to really go for it publicly with the new currency. It's the currency that the Chinese, the Indians, and the Russians have been working up for some considerable time. Although there was an announcement a few weeks back, it is actually, I understand, December that all the banks, the central bank in Russia, will actively go ahead with this new currency. That is a direct challenge to the dollar. So there's a lot of movement towards that, which is really discomforting the Rothschilds and people like George Soros and others, who could live with the fact that there was no Rothschild bank in Russia, but cannot live with the fact that there is going to be a challenge to the whole Rothschild banking system. So that's the point there. In terms of some form of disclosure, President Putin is no way going to disclose until he feels that he's economically secure and militarily secure. The whole problem with the interceptor missiles that the West, NATO, which is again unfortunately part of this very nasty evil elite, although paid for mainly by the Americans, I might add, the whole point about the interceptor missiles was nothing to do. They were placing these on the borders with Russia. It had nothing to do with rogue states firing missiles. About everything to do with trying to, if the situation came to it, take down Russian satellites. That's what all of this business with interceptor missiles and why Putin didn't want them on countries that were on bordering his land. President Putin, I don't know if many of our listeners picked this up, but President Putin, 2 weeks ago, I'm a bit confused with time now, made a comment that he now had technology that was not of this planet. Excuse me. He now has felt prepared to say, we have technology which is not of this planet. Now, to those people who understand what he's saying, what he's really threatening is if you have a go at us, if you attack us, we have the means to defend ourselves in non-Earth terms. So he was publicly saying what the elite had only guessed at. So he believes now that the technology that he has exceeds that of America. Now that's astonishing. If we look back to what we used to call the Cold War, which kicked off in what, 1947, 1948, 49, the United States of America was about 25 years ahead of the Soviet Union. And it fluctuated. And I think the closest that the old USSR ever got was about 10 years behind the US. And then Ronald Reagan came along and Star Wars, and that put America a good 25 years ahead of Russia. And now, due to Nordic technologies and other technologies which have come from other human-type federation or groups that have come to Russia, Russia is now technologically more advanced than the US. First time in the history. That's why President Putin now is so confident and can come out and say what he said. So disclosure can only happen when Russia, from Russia's point of view, when it's economically secure and it's militarily secure. Now, it's militarily secure now, first time ever, and it's on the verge of being economically secure. So when that occurs, we may well see President Putin saying, to heck with the rest of you, I'm actually going to come out and make a statement. In the last question you asked, there was about release of technologies. The deal was with the US, because President Trump was the president, Putin had said, look, looking at the treaties that were made many, many years ago, the US has the lion's share of, you know, Antarctica. So you do the deal, you extract the technologies, but the understanding was that Trump would ensure that some of those technologies went to Russia. So that's where we are with it. So it's the US that is obtaining these hidden technologies, not the Soviet Union. So again, I hope that's a helpful update.
Okay. One moment. Okay. So this is a question regarding last time. All right. Okay. This is a question from Martin. During the radio show from the 1st of October, my question was answered. It was the question with the drawings. It was not enough time for Simon to answer, and I didn't understand his brief response about the organically built house. Simon mentioned that you would have to explain more. Could we go back to the drawings and the question? Do you remember
those drawings? I can't, no, I cannot remember the question and I cannot remember the drawings. That's not because it wasn't important. It's that I exist, as we all do really, on an energy connection. And I have to live in the now and the future. And I'm looking at so many things that are occurring now that I suppose my mind doesn't have the capability of bringing into clarity. I remember that there were drawings and we had a talk about it. But I tend not to dwell on what's gone. So I'm not really going to go down that road. I mean, what the guy can do is connect with me, send me an email, and then I can, you know, deal with it on a one-to-one basis.
Yeah. I have to say, I mean, it's very difficult If somebody sends me something to then send it along to Simon, I've got a radio station to run. There's hundreds of other people who are trying to get through. Please don't send things to me.
it is a bit like potluck in the sense that, you know, there is just me in terms of doing this sort of work. Yes, I get people who very, very kindly offer to help from time to time, but there is just me at the end of the day doing this. And, you know, I'll never be able, unless, you know, the world changes, I'll never be able to speak to everyone as the way I would like. But if he does want to send an email, there is the chance that we'll pick it up, because I am now rebooking. I've had my move. You know, this is the first Wednesday was the first day I went back to work, as you could call it, because I had all the disruption of moving, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm picking back up now. So I will be going back through those emails where people have tried to get hold of me, and, you know, I'll pick it up. And it's lovely, because people say, well, I emailed you and I just gave it up, and suddenly you connect with me. And this is the way it is. I will find that email and I will respond to people. So, you know, please email me. If I don't get back to you, please don't get cross. It's not personal. There's nothing like that. I am not a washing machine repair station where I've got 20 members of staff doing the phone calls out. It doesn't work like that. And I think sometimes people just don't understand. There's just me. There's just me, and I do my very best. So please send some emails. If I can pick them up, then I will deal with you on a one-to-one basis. Thank you.
Okay. Now, he's got
to say. I just want to say to our American listeners and other listeners, if you're hearing bangs and crashes, that is not a revolution taking place in Great Britain. It is just kids letting fireworks off at the top of the road, which is echoing down over the hill. So if you are hearing bangs and crashes, it's just firework night in Great Britain. We're not having a revolution.
More's the pity. But anyway, that's what we do on the 5th of November. You guys do it on the 4th of July. We do it on the 5th of November. So this question, we were told that the humans have 6 times failed on the Earth in the past. Now we are fighting to win on the 7th attempt. The question is, in what time frame, from and to approximately, were these 6 failures happening? What was the cause?
Right, that's a very interesting question. It's the first time anyone's actually picked up on that. I will answer the question, but I'll just preface it by saying, do you remember the Matrix film? Do you remember where the very end of the final one, near the end of the final film, was a three-parter, wasn't it? Where it transpires that every so many years, there's a revolution, and there's a character like Neo who appears and nearly wins but doesn't. And there's a reduction of the human race. It's reduced, but then it grows and grows and grows and grows, and it reaches a peak, and then there's another Neo appears, and so it goes on. What the Polish brothers were trying to do was give information that the human race is trapped. It is held down, but the human spirit is indomitable. The human spirit wants to break free, and so there are these occasions when humanity pushes forward and either will or won't quite make it. So if we look at approximately 250,000 years ago, when the 12 strands of DNA were tricked away from humanity, if we look at the more recent times when the Anunnaki, 25,000 years just before we call the fall of Atlantis and Lemuria, so from the very first moment that the DNA strands were tricked away from people, the human consciousness has been striving to break free. We have a very interesting situation, where we would call it the Great Flood with Noah and the Ark. And that was one such instance where humanity was on the very verge of breaking free, and there was the deluge caused. think about the Tower of Babel, where the Bible says that mankind was challenging God. Well, if we take away God and use the word king, lord, reptile, humanity was working as a group. And so that the story goes that the tower was destroyed and there was one language upon the earth. And so we were all given different languages, English, French, German, Spanish, so that we couldn't work as a group. That actually has a lot of truth in it. If you have a billion people on the planet all speaking the same language, imagine what you could achieve. That's why English is such a powerful language, because the Americans, the British, the Canadians, the Australians, and several other countries use English. The powerful countries speak English. That's why it's a dominating language. But imagine if all of the Africans spoke English. Imagine if all of Europe spoke English. So there are key points in Earth's history where humanity has put aside its differences, put aside the fact that you might be yellow-skinned or black-skinned or white-skinned, male or female, and said, we recognize we're being oppressed. We need to work together to overthrow it. And on six occasions, humanity has nearly got there, but been stopped. On this occasion is the first time we've bopped through the door. 2012, the 31st of December, 2012, was the very first time humanity made it that far. If the audience thinks back prior to 2012, how many terrorism false flags had we had? How many ongoing paedophile incidences had we had? Since 2012, we've had more disclosures of corruption in government, paedophilia, Satanism, all of this, than we've had ever. It's because human consciousness is evolving and we are outstripping the low density, evil, fourth dimensional nasties. What I'm saying here is that it is becoming harder and harder and harder for evil intended people to lie and trick and cheat humanity. So since 2012, as a group of people, the human race has been able to see through the lies in a way it never did. They couldn't pull a Twin Towers now ever again because people wouldn't buy it. So these evil people are having to be more and more evil, more covert. I can't use the word clever, but they're having to be more devious in order to try to hoodwink the population. So we are seeing a environment now where desperate people who cannot win, because this is the seventh push, they're finished, they're trying to suck all the money off this planet, they're trying to wipe out people who oppose them, they are trying to get safe havens for those people who cannot leave the planet, then they're going to New Zealand. Just have a look at the number of people who have either gone to Switzerland or New Zealand. It's incredible. And when the vast majority of the top tier have managed to squeeze through the hole, then the edifice will come tumbling down. So the answer to the question is, ever since the human race was tricked, it has been working as one to try to get back what was stolen from it. But when you are a good person, and the human race is by and large good, you don't like to fight fire with fire. You don't want to do evil things because then you are no better than the people you are trying to remove. You just replace one despot with another. So the good people can't play the same game. And because we can't be devious like that, we are at a disadvantage in the short to medium term. But in the longer term, the fact that the good people are good and the evil people are evil means that the evil people will fall. But it's taken this length of time. And this is why it's a positive message. You know, I don't go with all of this stuff on YouTube about we're about to be wiped out. And, you know, it's my job, I believe, to alert people to what is happening, but I don't do it because I am wanting to feed a frenzy of fear. I do it because I need people, hopefully, to go away and do the research and try and find out what's happening, but it's never with the intent that we're all finished. Far from it. This is a successful story. We're going through the pain. So it's a good question. Thank you.
Here is an interesting question and also segues beautifully into the last question. 9/11 and the Pentagon. This is from Karen in South Africa. It seems to me that most people have forgotten the Pentagon was also attacked during 9/11. Perhaps focus has been deliberately drawn away from it. Apart from the talk around what actually hit it, I heard another weird rumor that the Pentagon was housing a large demon, which was the energy source powering the USA, and breaking open one side of the shape was meant to let it out. I've wondered about this for years. Do you have any intel on the real story there? Thank you, from Kaz.
Yeah, that's quite fascinating. That's quite a fascinating possibility. I don't go with it because the demon wouldn't need that shape to exist in. And if you were to exist in a building housing thousands of people, then you would be discovered. You would be much more likely to want to sit in a graveyard. I'm not joking, I'm being quite serious. You'd want to sit in a graveyard, or you'd want to sit somewhere where you would not be detected. So that's a nice theory, and it sounds very plausible. I don't go with that at all. If you do your research, you'll see that the section of the Pentagon that was blown up, it was a bomb. It wasn't a missile, it wasn't an aeroplane, it was a bomb. The section that was blown up was the United States Navy. The Department of the Navy was the one that was hit. And the reason for this is that the United States Navy, of all of the United States forces, had some of the strongest claim to managing the alien agenda. If you just think back to Star Trek, the spaceships are called ships. And on the sea, on the ocean of the world's oceans, we have aircraft carriers. Well, the United States do have fleets and aircraft carriers. So a long time ago, it was argued that wouldn't we be better if we had these aircraft carriers and these ships up in space? Literally, we built atomic-powered craft and we went out, and the Navy, in the same way the Navy is on the ocean, it should be in space, and they won that argument. So the Navy was always in a strong position, because most people would say, well, I can see the Air Force because they fly in the air. I can see the Air Force having a say in it, but I can't understand the Navy. Well, that's why. And in the very early days of Truman, except President Truman, etc., the Navy had a very powerful say on the original Majestic 12. So what happened was that the Navy started to ask questions about 9/11. This is before it happened. And the Navy let it be known that they did not support 9/11. And as a result of that, they were threatened. And the explosion was a warning to them by some of the long removed people now, but under Bush's, the original Bush's government, people like Dick Cheney, et cetera, et cetera, who incidentally was very involved in the production of precious metals from Mars. Just think about Arnold Schwarzenegger in his film Total Recall, where there's a Mars corporation mining precious minerals from Mars. Well, this is a dig on Dick Cheney, because he was in charge of the Mars Corporation. Anyway, we're getting off the track here. But I know for a fact, no names now, but a member of staff, female member of staff, who was employed by the United States Navy. She wasn't on a ship. She worked at the Pentagon, and she got a phone call from her boss's boss the night before and said, I won't use the name, hey, you little girl because she had a 2-year-old girl, I think. Or was she about 1-year-old? Your little girl. Don't put her in the Pentagon creche tomorrow. Take her into your office. And what this woman did was she brought her child in and put it down by her desk. Because the section that was hit was very close to the crash. So the reason that the Pentagon was bombed was because it was a threat by the elite to the United States Navy. That's exactly why that happened. The demon, I like the demon idea, but not for that building. Thank you.
Okay. Now, this is a question from Central Australia, from Hazelnut. Please tell us more about prime creators that create planets like Gaia Terra. Who are they? How do they embody, and what is the difference between normal souls and them?
Right. There is only one creator, but there are, I don't use the word junior creators, because the human race is creators. We are creators, but we are creating within the dimension that we exist in. So it doesn't mean we're any less, but we create, most of us create in the dimension that we are in a more dense, heavy environment. The things that we can create are not as exciting, perhaps, as if you're in a higher dimension. Some off-planet species have lost their connection to humanity to the extent that they cannot connect the strands of DNA with source and create. That's why so many negative aliens are particularly interested in humanity, because we can do this, because humans can connect to the prime creator, to source, and because we have the capability of connecting our DNA, and humans are fantastic. You know, you wouldn't imagine it when you walk down to the shopping mall, down the high street, and you look at some people and you think, God, you're in a terrible state. You know, look at you. You know, you're just sitting in front of a television. You're eating horrible food. Your expectations are up going to the bar, or the pub, or the match, the football match. And how are you human? But the reality is that's because these people have been conned and tricked. Human beings have the potential to be some of the most fantastic things anywhere in the multiverse. And that's what we need to grasp hold of. And that is what is after. That's what these things want. They want this connection to source. So there is one prime creator. The off-planet entities that I've spoken to, don't call God God. They just say, you know, the prime creator or the creator, and they don't even understand it. So if they don't understand it, how are we ever going to understand it? But maybe humans understand it in a different way. There are a number of other beings that have chosen to create. This is the key. Most beings do not choose to create. Most beings are service to self. If you're service to others, you wish to create. And don't get confused with a guy that opens a zoo and says, I want to have all these animals in cages and then people can come and pay me money and they can look at it. That's not what the multiverse is meant to be. It's not different planets and then these people can come and look at it. It is pockets of creativity where those people should have free will to develop and learn. So you have, going right back beyond anyone's real knowledge or memory, you have a number of beings that were tasked with creation. If you think about the Bible, even Satan, you know, Lucifer, let's use the two terms, was portrayed as a fallen angel, but he was actually portrayed as one of the right-hand men, if I can call it that, to God. So we have a slice of truth here about some angels, can't think of a better word at the moment, who were given the capability above humans to create. But their remit for creation could never cross the boundary of the great creator. You have a range of creators, and so far more than most people would understand and expect. So you might have somebody who could create a planet, but somebody who could create plants. And it's whether they work together. So the Bible is accurate in the sense that the earth was created. It did not get created because there was a big explosion and this chemical ran into that chemical. You know, these things were brought here. You know, just like if you were to take a slice of a Martian meteorite, you would see bacteria in that meteorite. And scientists today, by and large, have accepted that a number of the biological bacteria on this planet have come from somewhere else. So they've moved now from this purely Earth-based situation to the fact that much of what is on the Earth has come from elsewhere. So that's a good question, but we will never fully know until we ourselves have evolved to that level where we can, for want of a better word, sit round a table and have a chat with them. Right, cup of tea time, I think.
Well, so it is. And I thought today we'll have some Van Morrison, which is a song, Contacting My Angel.
Oh, wow. You see, and I spoke about angels.
There we go.
Wasn't that absolutely synchronistic? Spot on.
Welcome back to Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks. It's the 5th of November 2017. And that was a nice little song, eh?
Yes, it was excellent.
So, from... it's the second hour. Do you want to do your... usually do your...
yes, I will do. I've got a reduced list, not because there's been reduced support, but because my PayPal site, my PayPal thing was taken down. Very kind of them, but they have reinstated it. So just another little bit of hassle for me. So this isn't a full list, and I'm very sorry about that, but that's not because I have not, you know, don't care. It's because I wasn't able to. I want to thank John D. It was a very, very, very helpful donation. Thank you. That's really kind of you. Stefano, Tracy, Melissa, Mary, John H., Onshore Media, Alan, Benjamin, Next Level Consultants, sounds very good, Max, Richie, K-Man Lee, Piluti, Nan, Gillian, and Becky. And after that, I'm sorry, but I couldn't get any more names because somebody decided that they should just cut me off. But it's just literally been reinstated 5 minutes before we went on air. So I'll try and catch everyone up on the next show and try and add you on there. So for those people who have donated over what was a very busy time, you know, I had to pay some removal men and all the rest of it, thank you very much indeed. That has really helped. It's kept me doing what I'm doing, kept me on target, and God bless you. Thank you.
and me and who else? In and Lyra in the chat room going, the John D?
I don't even know who that is, but anyway, his name is John D, and I'm very grateful to him.
John D, the Elizabethan magician.
Oh, 007.
Yes.
Oh, no, well, who knows?
Might be back. So, here's a nice long question. Settle back, grab your tea. You've got a nice fresh one, so let's see. Where's my last one? Okay. This is from someone called D. Who's this from? Gobenheimer. Okay. Hello, you amazing beings. It's been said many times, but not yet enough. You two are really causing great waves of change. Multiple dimensions of gratitude towards you both and everyone behind the scenes at All Spirit Radio. About 7 years ago, our meditation group met at a park near a lake and spent some time playing psychic games and trying experiments like changing the pH of water with our intentions before meditating in a circle. I was the only one capable at that time of achieving a difference. Whilst in the meditation, I started to get a very heavy body feeling, almost as if I was going into the earth or into myself. I started to see a set of legs as if they were mine, and I was wearing a robe and sandals and could see someone wearing similar clothes beside me sitting there as well. Being younger, a bit nervous and too conscious of what was going on, I started to question what I was seeing and got caught in what seemed like in between then and now. The feeling was very uncomfortable, and it felt like as if all my muscles wanted to tighten and clench up, and I had quite a hard time talking. The lady who helps us at meditations got a message for me the following day in her daily meditations, telling her that I was going back to a time and space when I had a connection with Christ, but it was my built-in religious borders that halted my ability to stay there. I guess what I'm trying to ask is, do you think that, quote, Jesus and Mary had and still have a living lineage today? And I know the second coming of Christ is a global happening this time, but do you think maybe the souls of Jesus and Mary may have come back? Do souls get to come back? Who asks? If so, who asks? Sorry, not sorry for the string of questions. Much love from Go Behind. So essentially, the Jesus and Mary lineage, do you think their souls have come back? Is there still a living lineage? I'm sure you know a bit about this.
There is a living lineage, and you have a range of people from the crackpot to the very genuine people who have some form of connection here. You know, one of the Rothschild family members who's been estranged by the family is convinced that she is connected in some way. Why someone from the Rothschild family would be connected like that is beyond me. But it's very, very popular, of course, to think you are Napoleon or you are this or you are that. The reality is that the Christ consciousness exists in everybody, but in certain people, it has a greater root. It doesn't mean that person or persons are any better than anyone else. It just means that they have an insight into that time, or they'll have a memory of that time in a greater way than perhaps other people would have. And when we go on to meditation, or whether we go to what you could loosely call a holy place, probably a better word is a sacred place or a portal, you can, if you're that way inclined, you can connect and connect with the energies of that time. And, you know, if you were wanting to evolve humanity as the great creator does, then if we take the true Christ consciousness, not the Christ of the Bible, not the religious control element, but the true creational force of Christ, then you would want that to be reincarnated on the planet in a number of places, because you would want that to act as bastions, to act as living trees, to put down roots, to try to connect and channel and to develop. So yes, absolutely. You know, just as the soul of a person can have a fragment of it that was belonging to a person in history, you know, so we can all have this flavor. And what we have to be careful of is, you know, everybody wants to be King Arthur. Everybody wants to be this, that, and the other. Who wants to be the cleaning lady? Who wants to be the janitor? When did you ever hear anyone saying, you know, I was the guy that cleaned out the pigs? No, everybody was, I was King Arthur, I was this, I was that. We have to be very, very careful. Many people who have strong past memories can remember being burnt at the stake, burnt as a witch, drowned as a witch. These are genuinely real things that happen to people. We can't all have lovely, happy, jolly good times, because how do we evolve? How can we evolve unless we are challenged? And if we've got the nous, as we say in Great Britain, to actually say, what can I learn from this? Incidentally, during the tea break, where I am actually, you can see quite a bit of the space. It's not too built up here. I saw a UFO. What was fascinating about this was it was firing a beam. It's not, it wasn't near, it was a bit of a distance, but it was firing a beam of light down. Now, I have had an experience, which I refer to as beams, before, where I've been in a place where beams of light have come down, there was no way that that was the moonbeams. And so it was interesting that, again, I've just seen something that's projecting beams. It was not a helicopter shining a light. You know, it wasn't a guy escaped from the local penitentiary or the main prison. This was a UFO with a beam of light. So there's a lot of activity on the planet at the moment, and I would expect many more people to start seeing things than they have been in the past. So, you know, just keep our eyes open and see what happens. Thank you.
Very interesting. I had a dream some months ago, and it was a UFO that came down, and then it sort of shot beams, and then shot back up into the sky. That was in a dream. I made a little film of it as well.
Excellent. Many of these beams are not to do with laser beams or plasma weapons. They are designed to activate the DNA of their targets. Yes, I know we've got lots of drawings of cows being lifted up by a flying saucer and it's on the beam. But most of these beams are designed to hit a target, which is a person, and then elevate their consciousness, elevate their DNA, do something, even if it's time locked. So it may not happen for 6 months or a year or 2 years. That's primarily what those things are. They're firing beams to interact with a person and in a gentle way evolve them. So your dream, JP, may not have been a dream in the true sense of the word. It may have been something that actually happened to you a while back, but your subconscious was now releasing to your conscious mind in the dream shape, this is what occurred. So I find that very interesting. Beams are usually positive, not solely, but usually positive, and about elevating the human race.
Interesting. It was a green. I remember it being a sort of bright green beam.
Okay. I've never seen a bright green beam. The beams I've seen have been like a whitish light, but see-throughy. Can't really describe it any more than that. I've never seen a green beam. That's a new one on me. Then you would have a green light, wouldn't you? You'd be different.
It's my people. I know that I have a particular shade of green that I connect with them.
Okay. Lovely.
And yeah. Anyway, meanwhile. Back at the contact form. Here we go. So that was a great one. All right, yeah, this is from James Lamb. When I close my eyes, I see a plus sign, and recently another one appeared, rotated 45 degrees to the first one. Is there a meaning to this?
Right, does he say how he sees it?
When he closes his eyes.
No, I mean, doesn't see it in colour, or one next to another?
No,
he just says we haven't got the information. All right, okay.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I think he means that it's like goes from a plus to a asterisk, really.
Right. Well, I thought he meant it was a plus sign and then another sign appeared and it turned on its angle. Okay, this is why when people write in, please be as specific as you can, because what is very clear to you isn't so clear to me. Right. I would have a concern about that. That is a symbol that we understand in mathematics. It has other symbol meanings as well. If something positive or off-planet or what have you wants to communicate with you, it will use quite a subtle method. It will use colours and shapes. If the local Wi-Fi mast, the local, is pouring out horrible control messages, they will be quite simple, partly because the technology is simple, but also because they're not hitting people with a lot of streams of information. When I've had stuff that's come from off planet, what I've seen is a disc in my mind with my eyes closed. And then, like, if you were to take a cake and get a sharp knife and then cut it into segments. You know, like you had 20 people and you've got to cut the cake into 20 pieces. And then if you were to sort of cut circles around that, and each circle was a different color. Now that's a deep level of information being given, but if you're just seeing a positive sign, a cross sign, and then another cross sign at a different angle, that to me is manipulation through either the electronics in your house, through the grid system, or through wireless stuff like Wi-Fi or anything else that they've got. So I would be suspicious of that. Do not engage with that. I don't like the sound of it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, now here in the chat, our personal chat, I'm going to post a link, and you can see the images. If you can you pick that one up?
Oh, sorry. Okay.
So go to the Skype chat room. You'll see the little indicator. If you go to the Skype window on the top right hand corner, there's a little chat bubble, and it's got a little red dot, I think.
Sorry, I'm just getting some messages in. Just 2 seconds.
Messages just arriving from the great big. Have you ever watched The Third Stone from the Sun? Third Rock from the Sun?
There's just been a shooting in Texas.
Ah, another one.
Yeah, just hang on a minute.
Okay.
There's been a shooting in a church in Texas, just literally now. Anyway, sorry, what were you saying to me? Right, okay, I've got this picture, Imguru, the most awesome image. Is that the one I'm looking at?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Fantastic. So, this is from Nuk Choris. Hello Simon and JP. Around 2006 and 2011, there was a common trend on the internet. People would film creatures that looked an awful lot like Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
The creatures were always found in forests or in sewers. They were extremely skinny, completely pale skin, no hair on their body, big eyes that would shine bright in the dark when hit by the light. And in one picture is to believe, they also had no visible genitalia. Could you explain what do you think these creatures are? Are they djinn? Are they demons? Or are they simply hoaxes?
Right, okay. there have been a few of these and they're hoaxes. There was a couple that were done by an Italian guy. And his character looked less like Gollum and more like a gargoyle that you would see on a cathedral or a church at Notre Dame. What I've always said when I've looked at these is, regardless of whether they are genuine or not, they are accurate. So when I'm looking at these pictures now, I'm not familiar with the pictures. I've not seen these before. These are new pictures. When I look at them, I have absolutely no doubt that what I'm looking at is the representation of a djinn. Now, if they're fake, the person who's drawn this has either seen djinn for real or has interviewed people who have really seen them, because the representations you've shown me are so accurate and so lifelike that they are either genuine or they are, you know, what you call a fake, but they are accurately depicting what I have seen. Now, for the audience who can't see what I'm seeing, I suppose, we've got a golem-like creature with glowing eyes, no hair on the body, thin arms, a very sort of human but evil type face. This is, and the last picture is with the mouth open. I always refer to these creatures as piranhas. Because when a djinn comes into this reality, remember djinn exists between the third and the fourth dimension. A djinn is interdimensional. Okay. It's not external dimensional. It's interdimensional. So they have the capability of becoming fully physical in this world. And when they open their mouth, if they're angry, they want to attack, they will have teeth like a djinn, like a piranha. They do have some reptilian elements to them. When they are in their covert mode, they will appear as a cherubim, a little tiny baby, you know, like Cupid. So that's when they are being nice to you. They'll appear like a Cupid. When they're about to attack, they'll appear like the photographs you've shown me. When they are neither one or the other and they just don't want to be seen, they are the little whiffs of black smoke that look like a bat that's just flown past you. So these pictures, I don't know whether they're genuine or not, but what I'm looking at is exactly what I've seen. This is absolutely a jinn, and this is what terrifies young children in their beds. This is what scares the bejesus out of people. And even if they are, as I say, they're not real, there's a fake picture, somebody has access to top quality information to produce these. So thank you very much indeed for sharing these with me, JP, and the person who sent them. They're very, very good. Thank you.
This question, SMB Day. In ancient times, there were Anunnaki stroke Egyptian gods on Earth. Where are they now? Are some of them currently incarnated here, like Enki, Inanna, or Thoth, the Atlantean priest king? If they live as Earth humans now, do they consciously know who they really are? Will they remember? And if so, when? If they are now here, what is their mission? Thank you.
Well, thank you. Their mission is to survive and to maintain the status quo. Yeah, we've already talked about George Soros. He's one of them. And Her Majesty the Queen of England is another one of them. In fact, President Putin referred to George Soros as "you old reptile." And I think that tells you everything you need to know. So where are these people now? They are in human form, in human body. The days are gone, you know, the days of the ziggurat, Sumerian Empire or the pyramid, when these creatures could strut around the chamber because there was no media. There were, you know, the literacy levels were almost at zero. So there was no way of the ordinary people obtaining information or seeing anything. You had the priesthood, you had the royal guard. These were the ones that saw what was really going on. But they were all part of the inner circle and never did the information get out. But as humanity developed, it became harder and harder to maintain that secret mesh. And so these beings went underground in not just the literal sense, but in the covert sense. And they donned human clothes and they donned human bodies, and they took positions of power within the key areas of control, which is the military, although less so there now. It's money, it's banking, it's the media industry, Hollywood. This is where they actually exist in large numbers, and in politics. And these people are still here on the earth, but they don't need to hide underground bases because they are in human form. So yeah, if you look at people who we believe to be like this, when they get old, the energy that they are consuming to maintain their human visage begins to fail. And so their face begins to change and they begin to look incredibly reptilian. The old Pope, you know, I loved showing pictures of the old Pope because, you know, 6 months before he resigned, you could see that the generator was breaking down and here was a very reptile creature lurking behind a human mask. So these creatures have learnt to be clever, to be covert, to be hidden. They're still here. They're still in control, and they exist mainly in the banking industry. Good question. Thank you.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Oh, there was another question, which is that the these half-breeds, do they die? How long do they live?
It's offensive to use the word half-breed. They are mixtures of different creatures. We wouldn't use the word half-breed, even if they're evil, because we're not criticizing them for being half of this or a quarter of that. We're criticizing them because their intent is to be evil to the human race. So that's just a personal thing. I mean, I could claim to be a half-breed, couldn't I? The point with these beings is that they were left on the planet to maintain the status quo. The gods disappeared. The gods left. They left their children, in brackets, and they went off. But they left the shop with a manager. The owner left the manager in charge of the shop. And the owner went for such a long period of time that the manager of the shop stopped doing what he was supposed to do and started putting his hand in the till and taking the money and then thinking, I can take risks here. I won't open Monday to Friday. I'll only open Monday to Wednesday and I'll have Thursday and Friday off and I'll do this and I'll do that. And in the end, these managers of the shop have completely and utterly taken the power to themselves, and their main concern, apart from the human race rising up and stringing them up, is the owners coming back, hence Planet X and Nibiru, hence the Vatican's desperate search for a large spacecraft, bringing back the owners as they see it. So we have a group of people who are not going to be liked by the owners. We have a group of people who are also not liked by the human race. They've got no friends, and that's why they do what they do, because they've got nowhere to hide. They've got no one that loves them. How can you believe in paedophilia and be loved? How can you be a Satanist and have love? You can't. You know, that's why I always say, whenever I get the chance, that these people need to change. You know, they need to change now. This is their moment. You know, whatever they've done in the past, it's not working. They're not going to own the planet. This is not a piece of real estate that they can own. You know, they've had their time. They've had their day. They've made their money. Now it's time for them to give way. It's time for a different form of life on this planet, which is an evolved human with a different set of values. You know, we don't want the oppression anymore. We don't want our food being poisoned. We don't want our drugs being laced. We don't want electronic information beamed into. We just want to be left alone to develop and to find a way that communicates with the Creator and the planet around us. There's no place for these evil people anymore, and they know it. And that is why we're going to see an increase in the very upsetting results around the planet. But the Earth has to go through this to come out the other end. So again, I don't want people to fall into the trap of thinking it's the end. And, you know, when I consult with some people, I quite understand it. They say that they're sick of it. You know, they're so sick of the fact that people they meet at work don't get it. They're not interested. They don't want to know the truth. And, you know, I get that. But the reason is that the bad guys have had many thousands of years at perfecting this trick. You know, you can't blame humans for wanting a simple life, because they've never been equipped with the capability to deal with what you and I and many of our listeners actually know to be truth. You know, yes, these people have the information there. If they look for it, they just don't look for it. And that's why we need something to happen to shake people out of their lethargy. So it's as I predicted, and others, let's be fair, it's not just me. Other people have said that 2017, October onwards, was going to be the real make and shape on this planet. And I don't like looking back at my old stuff, but someone did remind me that I did an interview on video in 2012. That's 5 years ago, isn't it? I think my maths. 5 years ago, where I'm on camera saying October, November 2017 is when it all starts. And that's the fact. So we must prepare ourselves for a little bit more pain but we need to be positive that we're going to come out the other end. And I absolutely believe that. I have no fear. We are going to come out the other end. So we've just got to hold on to that. Thank you.
Now, it's the bottom of the hour, just about. There's a question. It's a bit delicate. So what I'd like to do is play a little piece of music while you read through it in the chat room here.
Okay.
I'll just post that there. Everybody can listen to this. So you can choose to answer it now or...
I'm quite happy to answer it now. I won't mention the person's name because that is not the right thing to do. I will call him Paul B. That's what I'm going to call him. Basically, this guy is very suicidal. He says he had a session with me in 2015, which he did. I remember that. That's 2 years ago. And that he's been trying to connect with me, and not had any joy. And that's not surprising. Join the club, I'm afraid. But he says that I don't want to talk to him because he's very suicidal. That's not accurate. People who are facing suicide are my priority. They are the people that I will see. I don't run away from people who are suicidal. That's exactly what I deal with. When I'm consulting with somebody, I have to make a decision whether the suicidal tendencies are brought on by a medical situation, such as a trauma in the brain, an illness, and if it's something that a guy in a white coat can deal with, then that's not for me to deal with. But if it's brought on because the person was Montauk or satanic ritual abuse or the very highest levels, mind controlled, then that's what I will do. And I haven't lost a single person in seven years that I've been working with suicidal people. I've not lost a single person. Not one person that I've worked with has committed suicide. I've read obviously what you've read here. He's obviously, I wake up exhausted. I read this bit. I wake up exhausted as if I've been up all night. I feel as if something is taking me at night. I see visions of Anu and white reptiles. I feel it is attacking me to get to you. Well, nobody is going to attack you, Paul B, to get to me. That ain't the case. If someone wants to attack me, they'll attack me directly. They wouldn't go to someone else and try and make them feel bad to make me feel bad. If someone wants to have a go at me, they'll cut my brake cables. If they're of an energy, then they'll attack me in an energy form. So, and he says, I feel guilty every time I message you. Lashing out at you. Well, if you're lashing out at me, don't expect me to respond to you. You know, I am on this planet to help. And that's what I try and do. And I understand that some people are so angry and they're so cross and they don't know which way to turn that they'll just strike out. And that's a very human emotion. And I do understand that. So what I would say to you is that there's no way would I deliberately ignore you. You know, I have anyone who is close to me knows that I have something like now 18,000 unanswered emails on my computer. 18,000. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. When I put myself forward for this 7 years ago, I had no idea the need on this planet. I did not realize how damaged and hurt humanity was, I did not, in my wildest thoughts, appreciate the evil that had been done to humanity. But boy, do I know that now. Do I know just how much these very few people, the harm they've created. So, Paul B., if I don't respond to your messages, it was simply because I never got them, or they were lost in a huge outcry from people who needed that help. I never turn people away unless the person is targeted against me. And this is a shocking thing, that many people come to me for help, but they're not really coming to me to help. They're coming to be like a vampire of energy from me, or to attack me, or to, you know, that's what happens. It's not just me. All of us who are good in the alternative community get attacked from time to time. And many of the people that attack us are not doing it deliberately. They're being used or manipulated, and they have no say in the matter. They are just being led and drawn to it. So that's my answer to you. You know, you're going to have to just email me again, and I'll look for it and pick it up. But as you say here, if you're lashing out at me and you say it isn't me, well, that means there's something in you that's lashing out. So, you know, we need to get an understanding of what's going on. So thank you for sharing that with me, JP. I will never run away from anything like this. I just protected the man's full name. But, yeah, that's my answer.
Okie doke. So, the soul and pregnancy. Love the show. Thanks for getting the replay up the next day. Yes, by the way, people who...
Does well.
Yeah, the replays, it's all manual. I do it all by hand. So if you're nice to me, don't give me a hard time all day. then I've got time to do the
JP, I will say this, that people do say to me how impressed they are at the speed with which you get this out. There are a number of other people who've got much greater resources than you, and they take like a week and 2 weeks to do it. But you are actually ahead of the game, and many people have made that comment.
I don't mess about, Mr. Simon. So, thank you very much. This is from Star Stuff. Lovely. I had a different experience with each of my children when I was pregnant, and wondered if you could shed light on what happened. The first was when I was about 3 months pregnant with my son, who is now 27. I woke to see two rings of clouds. They were quite thick, fluffy, off-white in color and very defined. They had two pink wings spaced around coming out of the top cloud. I looked at it for a moment and went back to sleep. My thought at the time was, is this when the soul enters the baby's body? But I now know these positive-looking visions can sometimes be deceiving. The second was with my daughter. I was 8 months pregnant. I went to bed, just a normal night, closed my eyes, and could only see creatures with horrible faces. And this went on for hours, and I stayed awake all night. Each time I closed my eyes, it was the same. At around 5:30, I looked over at the clock, closed my eyes, and saw a bright white light, which was comforting, and I then went to sleep. This light has stayed with me, and my daughter is now 25. While I don't see the light every time I close my eyes, it is often there. Any explanation would be greatly appreciated for either of these experiences.
Right. Good question. On occasion, either source or advanced entities will share with the mother the intent they have. And you saw two fluffy white clouds with wings, which looked like angels. That is a vision given to you. Can't say by who, but that's a vision given to you to give you a physical understanding that something is coming to you. This is actually quite interesting. I would need to see pictures of the children, but what I would imagine is this is a twin soul. You have two objects shown as white clouds, if I understand you correctly, with wings coming out of them. We're either looking at a twin soul, or we're looking at two souls who are going to debate which one of these two goes into the body, and you as the mother were being asked to choose which one of these two you wanted to be in your child. That's what I go down. That's the route that I would go down. The second one is quite interesting because normally the soul enters the body much earlier than 8 months. So we have a possibility here that there was no soul in the body and the negative soul was attempting to enter, but you as a mother were being tested as to whether you were prepared to take the gamble and go with this one and see if you could make a go of it, or whether you were prepared to say, no, I'm not interested in that one. I don't want that one. And the battle went on for many hours until it became obvious that you were not going to shift. And then the alternate soul came through, which was a much more, I've got to be so careful here because it was an evil face doesn't mean it was going to be an evil soul. But the second one was more in tune with what you were seeking. So you went with that. It could also be that the baby you were carrying already had a soul and these were walk-ins. People don't always understand. They assume walk-ins occur when the baby's born, but occasionally we can be hijacked and a soul can come in. It's very complicated, but it's fascinating. So I believe that as the mother, they were sharing with you, the choice. They were actually involving you in making a choice as to the soul that you would like in the baby you were carrying. That is unusual. So if we ever connect, it would be lovely to see pictures of your children, because I would, from a professional point of view, I'd like to know what level of soul we're looking at there. So that's a fascinating story. And, I've only ever come across one other woman that had something similar. So that's how rare it is. Thank you for sharing that.
So this is a delightful segue. When, this is from, Nock Choris again. I was wondering if the type of music we are attracted to has a connection to the type of soul that we have. I'm asking because back when I had a Pleiadian soul, I loved calm music like Enya, love songs and pop music. The sound of heavy metal was like trash to my ears and I could actually get sick if I listened to it. However, after receiving a soul from Sirius, I have pretty much only been able to listen to rock and heavy metal. I can still listen to some types of other music, but I just don't sync that well with it anymore. I am now mostly attracted to music with heavy drums and strong, rough vocals. Yeah, I associate personally, like, serious, like, people who wear leather jackets on. You know, they got this other edge to them. But anyway, that's my opinion. So he finishes why I'm now mostly attracted to music with heavy drums and strong vocals. So, souls.
Well, we could say there are a number of Indian tribes and African tribes who are also connected to drums and vocals. So we have to be careful how we view things from a Western perspective. However, there is accuracy in this. But we mustn't just think that if you're a reptilian, you want marching music. And if you are a Palladian, you want to hear the sound of the sea. It's as much to do with past lives as anything else. If I took a Palladian soul who should like the sound of the ocean or the sound of dolphins and therefore this are gentle music, if that person had been Adolf Hitler, not at all likely, but if they'd been Adolf Hitler, we presume that the music that he would like would be Wagner or what have you. So we have to recognize that it is the frequency energy of the dimension that the soul was carnated into, then how in the physical form, generally, it was influenced by its many lifetimes on many planets. Now, on this planet, which is a third dimensional planet with a fourth dimensional crafted evil energy, we are drawn to certain things. So yes, a fourth dimensional person will be drawn to warfare. Fourth dimensional person will be drawn to hierarchy. Fifth dimensional person less so. But you need to understand the lifetimes that individual has had to get that picture. So that's the only caveat I would add to it. Absolutely spot on. The soul in your body, the type of frequency it has, but the experiences and the learning that you have chosen or not chosen to have from the interactions on this planet. Thank you.
Fabulous. You know, when you were talking about a marching band, and I thought, well, how come I'm hearing I'm hearing snare drums? It sounded like, it sounded like a marching band in the background.
That's
when you were talking.
Probably the Beatles' Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band.
Oh, they're probably just warming up. So, yes. Let's go move swiftly on. All right, so Nuck Choris has asked loads of questions. All right, okay, here we go. There we go, here's a good one. Hello, Simon and JP. Simon, there are many people with clear memories of having lived on other planets that are not situated in the Milky Way galaxy. So my question to you is, how did they end up here on Earth? As we all know, Earth is a prison planet, while 99% of the planets out there are not. I'm having a hard time trying to understand why anyone would come down here to live life as a slave. I know it sounds harsh, but unfortunately it's the truth. Have those souls done something truly evil in other galaxies that got them sentenced to incarnation on Earth? I know there are some souls that voluntarily come down here to help and assist, but by doing so they get trapped as well. So are these souls aware of the fact that they could possibly spend 1,000 lives on Earth and have no clue of who they truly are and why they came here? Or have they been deceived by others to do so? Thank you, guys, and keep up the good work. Your show is the best thing out there. That's from Christian in Romania.
Well, do you know what? Before we answer that, we've had questions from Romania, question from Russia. We've done really well. We've had some questions from countries that don't normally engage with us. So that's fantastic. Thank you. That's brilliant.
And South Africa.
Question, South Africa. Yes, that's right. I'm brilliant. The question is, it's not the most complicated that we've had, but it's the one that would require the longest answer, which we can't really give at the moment, but I'll do my best with that. Could you, looking at the question, JP, can you sort of pull out the major thread of it? Because there were several little questions in there. What would you say was the major question there?
That's too hot.
Were you drinking Bovril?
That coffee was too hot. It's burning down. All right. So people with clear memories of that they've come from other places, not in the Milky Way.
Right.
How did they end up here as the Earth is a prison planet? Why would anybody do this?
Why would you do it? Right. Okay. Some people are sent here because there is nowhere else for them to be put. Just as, unfortunately, Great Britain sent its prisoners to Australia. So other places send their people here. That's the truth, because it's a prison planet and they're kept trapped here. Why would somebody want to come here? And there's an incredibly easy answer for that, and it's a positive answer, believe it or not. 100 years on this planet, if you attempt to learn from your mistakes, is worth 100,000 years anywhere else. There is not another planet anywhere that presents us with so many varied challenges in the physical world. And if we are able to look at these challenges and not run away from them, and if we're able to say, all right, I did this, it didn't work, instead of beating myself up about it, what can I learn from this and how can I do better next time? We are going to evolve at a stupendous rate. That is why this planet is oversubscribed. They are queuing up to come here. Look, if you were, goodness knows, if you were ninth dimension, 10th dimension, you don't have a physical body. You have your own personal internet. You have telekinesis, telepathy. You've just got about everything. There isn't a problem you can't solve. How are you going to learn? You're not being challenged. The challenges are on a greater level. I understand that, you know, at a massive multiverse level, but you're not connecting with the roots. So even these great beings come down through the dimensions to take physical form and to queue up to come here because they wish to experience something that they've never experienced before. You know, if you've lived as an energy being, I don't like the word light body. Light bodies don't exist. These bodies are made of light waves and sound waves. These are energy bodies. You perceive light because when you see these beings in your apartment or your bedroom, they are light, but they are made of energy. They're not light bodies. I want to get that straight. When you take a being that was an energy being and put them into a physical body, oh my goodness, they've got fingers they can move and they can touch and feel and smell. And we take that all for granted. But those people who have come here for the first time, that is the most incredible experience. And it's also the most primitive experience because no longer can they snap their fingers and get an answer to this, that, and the other. They have to actually go by trial and error and learn and decide whether they're doing the right thing or not. And this is where we choose to learn or not. So people want to come here because it's salvation. They have the opportunity to learn. If you were 9th, 10th dimension and you came down to the 4th dimension and you were terribly trapped, you want to get out of it. You can't just go up to the 5th dimension easily. So maybe you've got to come back down here further to the 3rd dimension, relearn and have another go, have another opportunity to get right what you got wrong last time and fast track yourself up. So let's recap here. People get sent here against their will because they are considered to be so evil that the system wherever they are doesn't want them. And this is a prison planet. Get them here. There are people who come here because they wish to learn and develop. And there are those that volunteer to come here because they are so disgusted at the fact that a small percentage of the world's population are so evil and can control 90-odd% of the planet. They say, this is outrageous. I can't stand it any longer. I have got to go down there. And when I consult with, you know, some of my clients, these are these people. These are these people who, let's just take Lyra. They've gone to their government, want of a better word, in Lyra, and say, you can't leave these people down on Earth like this. You've got to get involved. And the government says, no, we don't. So the individual then says, do you give me permission to go down on my own and do something? And the government says, yes. So that individual has lots of high ideals. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to change this and I've got a message for them. They'll want to hear my message. They come here and their brain gets wiped of their memory. They can't remember who the heck they are. They don't remember what the duty was. All they know is this is mad. This is a crazy world. And many of them go into sort of shock. But those who survive, as they get older, they begin to remember who they are and what they believed in and why they came here. And they then activate and they then use whatever they can, whether it's being a host of a radio show, whether it's through poetry, whether it's through whatever it is, it doesn't matter. They will try and use an arm of the system to go out there and try and put a different point of view across. And even though it may be different from what they said they were going to do, they're still doing something important. And I've always said that most animal rights activists are Lyran, because Lyrans have an absolute commitment to the right to life. And Lyrans make fantastic nurses, caring. And if you look at the different groups, soul groups, you know, you're going to be a policeman, you're going to be a soldier, you're going to be a nurse, et cetera, et cetera. You can do it. That's how it is. And it's about coming to this planet and fulfilling what you think you need to do. And it doesn't matter what it is as long as you learn from it. Because you are going to come back unless we can break the generator. You are going to come back. And if you come back, do you really want to come back and start doing it all over again, learning the same damn lessons? No, you don't. You want to be able to move on to the next stage and the next stage and the next stage until finally you escape the trap. And that's what it's about. It's about escaping the trap. It's about developing and learning and being what human beings always should be, which is fantastic creational beings. But we are so caught up in the nonsense and the rubbish on this planet that many of us lose sight of who we are and what we're capable of. And the system doesn't want us to know that. So, you know, let's think about why we're here. We're not here to watch television and do this, that and the other. We're here to ask questions, to develop ourselves and to try to help others. And that's the only way to get off this planet. So that's great. Thank you.
So we're at 58 now. So I think this has got to be the top of the hour. Thank you very much, Simon. Do you have any final? I mean, that last bit was very moving, actually. When when you said we were talking about the Lyran thing, I felt a little edge there. So yes, and I think various others right. as well. And that's what I call the second ray, the ray two.
Ah, well, I'm not Lyran, but I have a percentage of me that is fifth dimensional from the hollow earth, which means that I have an understanding, and albeit a slim connection, but I have an understanding, of some of that anyway. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether we are Syrian, reptilian, Lyran, and I keep on saying this, it doesn't matter which railway station you get on at. If we are aiming for the railway station that says, Evolution Central or Ascension Central, if we're getting off at the same station, that is what we have all signed up for something. And if we have enough about us, enough awareness and determination not to fall at the wayside, then those of us on the carriage, we need to work together because, you know, that's who we are. That's what we've got. These are the resources we've got within this carriage. Those of us in it, we are the ones who are going to on this journey. And that's what this radio station is about, other radio stations, whatever. It's about groups of people identifying with each other and saying, hey, I'm different. You know, I've remembered, I've woken up, I've challenged. Why on earth would I want to go back to the old ways? Why would I want to mix with people that believe in the nonsense? You know, and this is what it's about. So listen, God bless everybody. I know it's a really difficult time. Just hang on in there. The bad guys are tying themselves up in knots. We mustn't get drawn into it. We're going to observe it, watch it. Don't get too upset about it, and don't get drawn into the evil. Thank you very much. Thanks, JP.
Thank you very much, Simon. And this was Connecting Consciousness Show. Call in on our studio numbers to join the roundtable.